the start of the last century, back in 1900, a young man arrived in Paris. He was not yet 20 years old, but stout and stocky, and with an ambitious light in his eyes. His name was Pablo Ruiz Picasso, and he was undertaking his first trip to the French capital because he wanted to be an artist and shake off the constraints of the provinces. He was born in Malaga and before then had only travelled within Spain before arriving in the French capital, which, in that year, offered itself to the eyes of the world with a sumptuous world expo. The city appeared before him in an intricate labyrinth of streets and words. Pablo did not speak French and did not know the art world. He discovered them little by little, through the help of his Catalan artist friends who had long since settled in France. And so, in the city that was to be his home at least until 1955, Picasso moved along a double path, that of an extraordinary intellectual autonomy and that of the presence of friends who welcomed him, supported and sometimes, as we shall see, protected him. Yes, because this exhibition investigates a lesser-known aspect of the most famous artist of the last century, namely his condition as a foreigner. A foreigner because he was Spanish, because he was an immigrant who did not know the language of his country of arrival, and, moreover, a friend of those bizarre Catalan painters who were often registered as anarchists. France, at the time, had adopted a very restrictive policy towards newcomers. Indeed, the French police wrote up several reports on him, often based on unfounded rumours, as curator Annie Cohen-Solal has meticulously reconstructed. And when the artist applied for French citizenship, it was denied. Only much later, when by then Picasso had become an international star, after the fame acquired through the great political painting Guernica, did the country offer him French citizenship, but he, with understandable pride, refused it. Let us go back then to that October of 1900. The young artist, guided by his friend Carles Casagemas, arrived in Paris a few days before his 19th birthday. Paris, for him, was a maze, and to find his way around, Pablo needed to turn to his roots, and namely to his Catalan friends, such as Casagemas, Pere Romeu, and Ramon Pichot. These were important figures in his life with whom he would share his expat destiny, sometimes in heated, sometimes desperate, sometimes cheerful tones. But this experience of his first arrival in Paris would mark his nature. In his letters, he would later fondly recall the early years shared with his art companions, the tins of beans, the cheap wine, the beds full of bugs. But Picasso knew that he was different to the others. He had had a rigorous traditional artistic training, boasted an extraordinary talent, and before he even arrived, he was already famous in the Catalan colony of Paris. Moreover, he cultivated a gaze that brought together different Latin cultures, Galician, Andalusian, Catalan. He knew how to integrate human figures into the landscape perfectly. Picasso lived everything to the full and poured all this experience into his paintings. His arrival in Paris, the faces of his friends, the images of Montmartre. The artist chose to portray his feeling of being a foreigner in a city that was changing in substance. And even when he depicted himself, as in the painting Group of Catalans, he chose precise codes, stiff figures that seem uncomfortable, hooded silhouettes their heads hidden by hats and scarves. Picasso perfectly grasped the urban strategy of the city, which at that time was pompously announcing the expo with the words of the then President of the Republic, Émile Loubet. On behalf of the Republic, we offer our warmest congratulations to all those who, our fellow citizens, have worthily represented French talent. The word French marked a social and cultural watershed. In the early 20th century, the district of Montmartre was certainly not the bohemian and cosmopolitan district it would later become, thanks to artists like Picasso. After the urban redevelopment of the center of Paris, undertaken by Baron Haussmann between 1853 and 1870, the city had revised its borders and the new immigrants and working-class Parisians were obliged to go and live in outlying districts such as the Hill of Montmartre. There was a reason for this, and it was exquisitely political. Confined in these marginal suburbs, foreigners could be better controlled. Thus, expat colonies began to form in that free territory. France, in those decades, followed a very strict policy on immigration. The decree of the 2nd of October 1888 and the law of the 8th of August 1893, in particular, had enabled the authorities to control newcomers better, not least by instituting the compulsory declaration of residence for all immigrant workers, with the obligation to report any changes of residence to the authorities. Police controls were intensified, and for the first time in France, the distinction between those who are part of the nation and those who are immigrant was established. A distinction between full citizens and foreigners, under the guise of the Brigade de Recherche, the political police.